Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that's part of this complete breakfast. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope...
Go time!
All right. The Scope Summer Movie Slam! The second movie this week!
The Spectacular Now!
Jared in the Hizzy, Carrie in the Hizzy, Shane in the Hizzy.
Studio crews on the move for your Scope Mobile review crew.
It's finally good that we can see...
I'm doing some buzz marketing. Come
Thank you. The Spectacular Now, the first real big special effects blockbuster of the summer. It finally came through, Jared.
I tell you what, there were aliens, there were dinosaurs. Alien dinosaur shade.
Wow.
It was fantastic.
With laser harnesses.
Laser harnesses. There might have been a disco dance number. I don't remember.
Yes.
Wow, I missed a lot.
So, yes.
None of that actually happened in the film. Those are just my... That's my dream film.
Oh. This movie is The Spectacular Now. It was, I believe, a Sundance movie that was caught up in a bit of a bidding war. A lot of people have seen this movie. A lot of critics have seen this movie since it's been around, making the circuit in February. But it is now...
It's going wide. It's been in limited release since August 2nd. It's now going wide on the 16th, or whatever Friday is.
Yes.
So
we've got a coming-of-age teen movie. You know, everybody knows those are my favorites.
Yep.
Once again, this takes place in... undisclosed year, and it chronicles the lives of kids in their senior year of high school.
Yeah.
Towards the end.
Mostly focusing on two characters who have very kind of broken home lives.
Name them and name the actors that played them.
You've got Sutter Keeley, played by Miles Teller, I believe.
Yes.
And you've got Amy something,
Just Amy. Beautiful Amy.
Played by Shailene Woodley. You may know her from The Descendants. You may know her from The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Oh, wait. She was cut from
that. Carrie did some...
She's coming up in Divergence? Whatever. Divergence. Some big young adult film this fall.
Ah, yes.
She's big.
Of The Hunger Games.
She's very, very hot right now in Hollywood.
She is hot.
And so those are your two main characters and a bunch of supporting roles as well. I don't have names.
Including Coach Taylor. Kyle Chandler pops up.
Yeah. With a clear eyes, speech. Full hearts, can't lose.
Motivational speech.
No.
So let's talk a little bit about the plot of the story.
Okay.
Jared, go ahead.
Well, Sutter is, he considers himself to be the life of the party.
Yeah.
He's the guy in high school who's always drinking.
I would call this guy, if you want an archetype, he'd be the good time Charlie.
He's the good time Charlie. He always lives in the now. He doesn't make any plans for the future, and he's always drinking. And he has a self-image of himself that he's the life of the party and that he's friends with everyone and that he cares about everyone. But it sort of starts, the veil sort of lifts as we go along, and it seems like people actually have a different opinion of him, and it becomes clear that he actually does have some problems that he's just, you know, drinking to sort of not deal with.
And especially as these kids start, you know, working their way, I mean, the movie actually probably takes place at the end of the senior year.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, kids are sort of realizing that this part of my life is over, and there's a future.
Going to college and making plans, and he doesn't do well in school. He just sort of, you know, flits about and makes sure he has a good time, and that's really all he cares about.
Kicks out his witticisms. He definitely, if you guys, I'm sure you'll agree with me, because you always do.
Yeah.
He has a bit of a Vince Vaughn vibe about him.
I couldn't get over it for the first 15 minutes of the film. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but he's very much Vince Vaughn Jr.
It's very quick. It's the delivery, the words he chooses, the wordplay, the word smithage.
Yeah, it's a very Vince Vaughn-y thing.
Would you agree, Carrie Lynn?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for participating.
That's a good one.
So, apparently he has broken up with his longtime girlfriend, Cassidy, who
she's
he thought
hot,
was the best.
The hot cheerleader.
And so after a party where he must have had too much to drink, he ends up trying to go home, but wakes up or gets woken up early one morning by Amy, Shailene Woodley. She's up to do the paper route that is actually her mother's paper route, but her mother is never actually capable of doing anything. So Amy ends up having to do it all the time.
She does.
So Sutter offers to help, and this is how these two sort of form a bond and become friends, and then more than friends, and then less than friends, and then, you know, the whole journey.
Yes. He's very intrigued by her selflessness.
Yeah.
And her quiet intelligence.
Exactly.
And a bit of her... I think her self-image.
She's sort of like, yeah, she doesn't
think...
She's like
the opposite of him.
She doesn't think that she's pretty necessarily. Not devastatingly so, but she just sort of doesn't think of herself that way.
Yeah, she's very sort of invisible.
And she isn't really aware that guys look at her like she's, you know, a woman. So that's an interesting play. Her story, we didn't really get into Sutter's home life. His mom works at the hospital or whatever, and often
has
to work.
Seems to be a young mom.
Dad is not in the picture anymore, and we're not sure why until later on. So that's obviously a cause of problems in Sutter's life. Amy's mother is so absent that we don't even see her.
I think you might see her in there's a hospital scene and she's standing by
the bed. True, but she's referenced a lot, and you sort of just see her in the background.
You see her with a Gaussian blur.
But so she's never even really a character, and I think that's important.
Yes.
That's definitely important.
And I think that mirrors sort of Amy, who's always selfless.
Yeah.
And so much...
So much to the point, to the point that she's been accepted to college in Pennsylvania or Philadelphia, and she says she's not going because she has to stay home to do mom's paper out, which thankfully Sutter talks her out of. Yep. But goodness, I mean, that's, you can just kind of see the extent of how broken she's been by her home life, and so
never had a boyfriend.
Yeah,
nothing.
So it's, you know, we don't need to get into too many details because the story is, you know, it's not about the details.
It's as about, old as time, Jared.
It's about how these two people sort of find each other and have kind of a positive influence on each other, you know, as much as they can.
Yeah,
and how, you know, each one of them sort of finds a way to eventually break out of this
malaise.
Sort of, yeah, this malaise that they're in.
How about that, Jared?
There you go. I like it.
Mr. Big Word. I can do it too. Carrie, what are you looking at on your phone right now?
Stuff.
You're looking at the Robin Thicke video, I'm assuming.
Oh, that's always just the default, just playing in the background.
So anyway, let's talk about this film.
Yes.
I think it does a lot right.
Okay.
I'm going to start with the acting and the characters, the casting.
Yes.
There's no real stereotypical beautiful person in this, right? I mean, everyone is...
Yeah, I would agree.
Everyone is looks like someone that you may know.
Yeah.
You may be these people. All these kids could be very beautiful Hollywood people. I don't know for sure. I don't know a lot about them. But... in this one, they are presented naturally.
It's not a high school film where you've got the hot girl and you've got the, you know, ugly girls. It's everyone's just sort of feels like real people.
Even the hot girl isn't like some stick girl. I mean, she's got a little cushion for the pushing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I appreciate that. And then the actors themselves, you know, the filmmaker allows them to linger and... There's a pacing there that's natural.
Yeah, and there's a lot of the scenes are single shots, not necessarily locked off. I mean, there's movement, but
not quick cuts.
But it's single shots, and yeah, and the actors, it's really all on them to carry the scene. You can't edit it. You can't.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there was even any music under some of those.
It was very quiet.
Just the people there had to make you believe, and they did a very good job. Yeah, I mean, I get why Shailene Woodley is so hot right now, as far as in demand. She's the real deal.
Yeah, and the thing is, these people are still stereotypes to a certain degree.
Yeah.
I mean, we've known people like this in our lives, but maybe not quite so tweaked. But I mean,
I think
there's behavior and action there that is so natural that you just wonder where they get this from. You know, the hair flip or the inability to make eye contact or, you know, even that sex scene, which sort of went on, which they're just sort of allowed to do it the way
it was sort of awkward, but it also felt authentic.
Yes, it was very authentic.
To what it would be like for two people for the first time.
Yeah, especially, one of them for the first
time. Well, that's true.
You know, it just...
I meant as a couple, the two.
Yeah. I mean, it felt like all through and through, for the most part, everyone was a very natural, realistic portrayal of what somebody could be. And I think you have to give that... props.
Yeah, and there's the final shot of the movie is you see Shailene Woodley, Amy, and she gives a look that just sort of the subtleties there. It goes from happiness to see Sutter to immediately that sort of, like, confused, anxious look, like...
What do I do with this?
Like, oh, God, what do I do with this? You know, it's been months. I'm at college. Obviously, it just sort of, you know, without saying anything, she communicates that, you know, yeah, she's been living her life, and there's, you know, who knows what's been going on, you know, in the interim. So, yeah, it's just good stuff.
Yeah, if you compare this to some of the other teen movies we've seen, I mean, let's be honest. This one makes them seem like a John Hughes film. I mean, you know, something where, you know, you get these really broad strokes of people. It doesn't mean they're not good, but this one feels like you're watching a documentary in some ways of people living their lives. And
yeah, I mean we love the Way, Way Back.
Yes.
But some of those characters are definitely, you know,
broadly drawn.
They're broadly drawn, and they're
not realistic.
And they're there for a purpose, and they're fun. Don't get me wrong, but you know, they're definitely, you know, don't necessarily feel like real authentic people 100%. So I mean, that's just, it's not necessarily, I'm not, you know, I'm sure you're not drawing necessarily that as a criticism.
No.
It's drawing a contrast.
It's a contrast, you know? And it's an observation, Jared.
There you go.
I think that's what we would use in
the
vernacular.
We are professional critics, after all.
So, I mean...
We do this for a living.
I think what we're saying is that and that living is $6 a year. I think that it's weird to see this type of film now, because... we haven't seen anything like it.
Yeah, it's not a summery feel type of film you normally see, you know.
Yeah.
Which is not bad, because, you know, it's okay to program against type.
Speaking of contrast, I mean, there is an incredible contrast here. I mean, these kids could be, I mean, you could put them in Oscar nomination type class. I mean, seriously, that's how good they were. The movie didn't make me feel... you know, maybe as emotional as some of the other ones, like Perks.
I would agree. I sort of felt like I was sort of waiting for kind of the gut punch moment, and we had a couple of little scenes that were, I guess, shocking, but not as shocking as maybe they could have pushed it, and maybe that's the point.
I think it's for the best.
I think that's the point, is it's, you know, there's so much authenticity in the film for them to maybe put a kind of a bombastic, momentous occasion... that sort of pivots the whole film might not have really played very well.
Yeah, I mean, and it sort of ended with a Sopranos-type maneuver. The movie didn't have a, you know, even a dramatic, the dramatic moment was dramatic, but it felt like probably something that should have happened within the context of the film. It didn't cheap out, and it didn't linger on it as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, you talk about, you know, the ultimate, like, positive or negative, it's just not in this movie. It's just showing these kids sort of struggling to find their way. I mean, I think that maybe even with Amy, her journey, they may have made it a little easy, you know, just because maybe it was about Sutter in the sense that, you know, his is a story we're going to tell, and she is just, you know.
But, you know, I think all of this stuff was kind of intentional. I think that the intention was not to necessarily, you know, build these people up too much or tear them down too much, but it was to take them through this particular segment of their life. I mean, Sutter has an influence on Amy where he gets her a flask and they're drinking, and you could almost real easily take the Amy character into the world of alcohol.
Oh, sure. Did you think about that? Because I
did. And break her down, but she never really goes there. She just sort of enjoys it and has it, and doesn't seem to have an overall negative effect on her life. Or not even necessarily a positive effect. It's just something that is. And to me, that felt like a very deliberate choice.
It did. I was always worried, though, that she was so into him and so willing to be what he needed her to be that it was dangerous.
But again, that sort of reinforces my point, where she was so into him that he could have taken advantage of her so bad.
I think he knew
and
that.
Destroyed her. And while there is a scene where he sort of tries to push her away... Well, it doesn't sort of. He literally does.
Pushes her into a car.
And this is because he's having a breakdown moment. But again, I feel like they could have easily decided to, you know, make him a bad guy and really, really hurt her emotionally, and they didn't really go that far.
Or just not even necessarily make him a bad guy, cheap out and make it some thing, you know?
Yeah.
More than what it was on the screen.
So it's a very nuanced filmmaking exercise. It's not going for the easy out.
I mean, and a good example, too.
And I'm impressed by that,
it's a good example.
I'm not making that clear.
I don't understand what you're getting at,
I'm talking to the audience, Shane.
So you tell me there's a chance.
That's why I don't speak.
One thing that I liked in this movie was the graduation scene,
okay.
or the lack of the graduation scene.
Sure.
The fact that it took place after. You didn't see the pomp and circumstance.
Right.
It was quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't normally see it that
mm-hmm.
way. You know, there's, like you said, there's everything about nuance in this film and nothing about summer blockbuster, and just nothing about how movies are done in general. So
I thought one nit I could pick with the graduation, post-graduation scene.
Yeah.
I don't know if this, and this could have just been my own personal experience, but
yeah.
So spoiler, they show Sutter with an empty diploma holder,
yeah.
whatever, which I'm sure was meant to indicate that he probably hadn't graduated.
Yeah.
However, for me, I didn't get my diploma when I graduated. We didn't get our paper diploma. We got an empty holder, and we got our paper diploma after we turned in our cap and gown.
So we don't know if
he
graduated.
I think everyone does that, don't they?
So that's what I'm wondering. It's like, I understand the symbolism of it, and I understand what we're supposed to get out of the scene, but,
yeah.
you know, it's slightly diminished
yeah.
because it's, you know...
If that's the most
you if that's
the most you can
you
pick
it.
On, Jared, get out of my car. Get out of the Mobile Scope Studio.
They deliberately did that
to
make you think about
it. It's
yeah,
possible.
Of course they did.
I mean, you know, they definitely made things ambiguous at times intentionally. So.
Is there anything in this movie that struck you, Carrie, that we haven't talked about?
No, you guys covered just about everything.
Should we take this on the road, like a professional type of operation?
Aren't we on the road?
That's why you need to be with us all the time. You're like our fact checker.
Okay.
Do you think there was any meaning to the fact that Sutter was a fan of sort of this country music? Or was that just...
I think that he associated it with his father.
Yeah.
And like he had memories of it being his
okay.
dad.
And then,
but
and
it
then
really, but we find out that it wasn't.
Mom.
It was
yeah.
his mom. That's what I think it was.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
So, I mean, we talked a lot about it. Very few weaknesses in this film. I think
mm-hmm.
we can all agree on that. So I suppose we should probably give this a score since we're sitting in my garage right now.
We should.
All right.
The Scope score is 3.5 stars.
I think it was masterfully done.
Yeah.
But like we said, it wasn't some emotional sucker punch.
Yeah.
And so you have to take that into account. Because that's what you expect in a movie like this.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't... I mean, I guess... We've given the score at this point. We've given the score.
3.5 stars.
Yeah. So
what?
it doesn't, for me, it's like, it's
no.
really, really well done. It doesn't have kind of that gravitas that Perks of Being a Wallflower
yeah.
had, that sort of like
ripped your
emotional
heart out.
Connectedness
yeah.
to it. So I can't go 4.
But that's a different movie. Why does it have to have that?
I'm just saying.
Well, that's why Jared
doesn't have to.
That's why Jared.
You're saying because you
no,
expected that.
You
so
did. So
maybe that's why
I didn't expect it, but it didn't actually get to that point where.
See, I kind of did expect it, knowing that it was going to be a teen type of movie. That there
yeah.
was going to be something where I was going to walk out of there just feeling destroyed.
Yeah.
In or happy or uplifted, and I didn't. I went out feeling like. I think what the filmmakers probably intended you to feel. It just, you have to get around to that. You have to understand that was the intent of the movie.
I respect the nuance and the craft and the subtlety. And yeah, I mean, I think we feel exactly what the filmmakers intended us to feel. And that's great.
Yep,
unless you feel manipulated by
yeah.
that, which I don't.
I don't think so. I think that there is a subtle relatability that you can see. Because you don't see characters like this portrayed in film or even in TV very much like this.
Yeah.
So it's all like you have to recalibrate your movie expectations, you know?
Absolutely.
So you get that slice of life, you get these people that could have been any of your friends, or you might have had a friend like this. I knew girls like that, you know? I mean, I probably was like that, you know, being a kid like that and being so dependent on somebody sometimes like that. That
sure.
That, like I said, you just don't see that stuff, so...
Yeah, and it kind of makes me wonder how many kids in my high school were... You know, dealing with family issues and
probably everybody
drinking on a regular basis. You know,
lots of them.
Yeah, probably. But
I know lots of them actually.
I mean, that's
I hung
sad.
Out with those people.
There we go. So let's celebrate this movie, Jared.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie, let's celebrate it.
Okay.
It's a good film.
Celebrate good times.
If you're if you're a casual filmmaker who you know loves the bombast or loves
yeah.
you know. Broad comedy. This
if you love Pacific Rim,
it's not a film for you.
Sorry, I'm just taking on Pacific
no,
Rim.
No, I mean it doesn't mean you can't love.
Whoa,
If you exclusively just want to have you know go for escapist cinema, then this is not for you. But if you appreciate you know, great nuanced filmmaking, then definitely check this out.
There you go. So there we go, guys. Scope Summer Movie Slam review complete.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations, Carrie.
Thanks.
Congratulations, Jared.
I guess.
We did it.
We did it. Stay tuned for more movies. Maybe. We don't know, Jared. We're getting towards the end, baby.
Yeah.
So until next time, for Jared, Carrie, and Shane, this is Shane saying arrivederci, bitches.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.